Let's get this episode going, gang. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
I'm Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in. As always, this week, coming off of the worst of 2015 month, we're getting back to basics here at We Hate Movies. A lot of white trash fighting going on in this week's episode. American Shaolin : King of the Kickboxers 2 from 1991, directed by someone named Lucas Lowe, who Hollywood just forgot. Hollywood forgot everybody in this movie except for Daniel Day Kim, star of Lost, and CBS's Hawaii Five-0.
CBS's It's Gonna Keep Going.
Oh, yeah. I was shocked. We were up at my parents' house for Thanksgiving, flipping through the old boob tube. I could not believe that Hawaii Five-0 is still on the air, celebrating however many seasons.
It's over 100 episodes at this point.
Oh, yikes. They got that syndication number. That's all you need.
So, you know, grown up, I saw this movie a bunch, and the title was always just American Shaolin. There's different releases out there, folks.
This is your VHS bait and switch before IMDb existed? Like,
yes.
VHS companies love to do this, making a sequel.
Right, like, oh, I like the King of Kickboxers. Wait, what? American Shaolin?
Oh, man. Like, that's what's great, because one of them is No Retreat, No Surrender 5 or something.
Five.
What guy at the video store was like, you know, I loved those four No Retreat, No Surrender movies. I wish they made a fifth one. Say what? Thanks, Blockbuster.
But I think they're all unrelated. I read the description of two, by the way. It's
two of what?
No Retreat, No Surrender 2.
Oh,
it
yeah.
sounds incredible. I'm going to check it out. Yeah.
The interesting thing, this is actually more of a spiritual cousin to No Retreat, No Surrender, because it starts with a humiliation.
Right.
That's true.
In a karate arena, which is where you want a humiliation, and it builds up to another humiliation.
So here we are, the year of 1991, probably 1989 when we're making this movie, if we want to be realistic about it.
It looks like 1975.
Yes, that's also correct.
What was this shot on?
I don't know. A homeless man's camcorder. It looks terrible.
This is somebody's Christmas present.
What, I made you this movie?
Or no, like, oh, I got you this camera. Go with your friends.
Oh, yeah, totally. So here we are. We're in sunny California. Possibly also Dirtbag, Florida. I don't know which.
Or Jersey Shore, maybe. I'm getting a vibe.
Getting a
Have you guys noticed all the Mets and Giants paraphernalia?
He's got a lot of New York paraphernalia. I think what that is, though, because while this is a spiritual cousin to something like No Retreat, No Surrender, it's also kind of the beginning, anyway, a blatant ripoff of The Karate Kid.
Yes, I think this is East Coast Karate Kid.
It is. It's Karate Kid Part 3, because Trevor Got It All, who we're about to meet.
Oh man, the only thing I enjoyed about this movie is this villain's last name.
But he's exactly the guy from Karate Kid Part 3, and Karate Kid Part 3 had come out before this.
Are you talking about Terry Silver?
Yes.
Or Karate's bad boy Mike Barnes?
No, I was talking specifically Terry Silver.
Okay, the guy who does business in the bath.
He's got the ponytail.
It's as if they saw like the trailer for it, like, oh, we could make that movie. You know what I mean? Like the trailer for Karate Kid Part 3, like, let's go. Hey, that guy in my karate class kind of looks like that guy.
That guy who had a failed audition to be a Power Ranger could be that guy. Here's my problem with Trevor Got It All's ponytail, because at the beginning of the movie, I was like, ponytail alert, and
sure.
I got super stoked. Trevor Got It All does not have the disgusting, greasy ponytail I expect from my karate masters, my white karate masters.
So, wait, does that mean you respected this ponytail more than you should have?
No. The exact opposite. I want my ponytails greasy, grody, and gnarly. And this dude has a conditioned ponytail. It looks like a horse mane and a competition horse mane.
Listeners at home, Andrew was pointing in my face when he said competition horse mane.
I don't know why I was pointing at you, but it looks like this is too well kept for a man's ponytail.
I agree, and it's just I don't understand. At least like when you got your ponytail
it all
when you got it all
yeah.
when you got your ponytail all greased up, it's at least like kind of It becomes a weapon almost. It's not just a hindrance on the back of your neck.
That's right.
And also, Trevor got it all. If we're going to do this Salman Rushdie-esque naming convention wherein the last name tells you what the character's ideals are.
Yeah.
That's got to be for everybody, which means our main character has to be Johnny Annoying Piece of Shit.
I completely agree with you on this. And before we get to our guy, Drew Carson.
Accounts. Hi, I'm Drew Carson, Accounts.
Yeah, totally. This guy's renting you a car. No, my problem with the Trevor Got It All is, aside from cheating at karate tournaments, there's not much evidence that tells us he indeed has it all.
Right, there should have been a few scenes of him flaunting it up with a couple of babes.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe, you know, Ferrari Tessarossa.
Yeah, or maybe we find out that his dad, you know, is a billionaire and that's what happened.
Oil
that, you know,
baron.
Yeah, we're the Montana got it alls. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it is. Because we just start off with Trevor Got It All in a very Terry Silver-esque kind of fighting sequence. He's fighting all these guys, you know, one after another to learn to be the best of the best, which this might also be another. Yeah. This might be best of the best 4.5, maybe.
There is a 4. There is not a 4.5, I don't think.
But, and he's got this trainer, and like, there's this like scientist lady that's like, oh, your kicks are like 4.8 PSIs. And
he's
so
also
on.
Got like a weird like wrestling manager.
Yeah.
Who's just like, Trevor, it's not enough to destroy your opponent. You have to humiliate them or whatever.
This movie has, it envisions a martial arts, a competitive martial arts world gone amok. The shit that this guy gets away with in this opening scene. Now, we're talking, this is just.
This is when they deregulated the dojos. The late 80s. Controversial policy, George H.W.
I think you're totally right, because what we see here...
Gotta get the government out of those dojos, Bar. I mean, honestly, you can't even throw a spin kick anymore.
You know what, Bar? It's one thing to give the banks all the power. It's another thing to give these dojo masters all the power. We gotta break them up, Bar. We gotta break them right up. You're telling me I can't go into a dojo without fear of getting bicycle kicked right in the throat? Not good, Bar. I should be able to pull that boy's pants down.
There is no AIDS in this dojo.
No, there's certainly not. There's not AIDS in this dojo or that dojo or any dojo, because AIDS is a fantasy.
This is when Reagan stumped for him on the campaign trail. People like say, oh, read my lips was a big thing. It was really about the dojos.
That's what we're no
gonna
one's get talking about.
We're gonna get the hell out of Iran, and we're gonna get the hell out of those dojos.
And another thing, Bar, I'm taking the color off those belts. It's either black or white. No man should be walking around wearing a blue belt, Bar.
A little effeminate, Bar, is all I'm saying.
Bar, talking to myself again.
So. You would think, again, from the beginning of this movie, this first scene, the first scene we see in, like, you know, Seasonal Pictures presents this movie.
Is that what it was called? Because it's got a real We're Dodging Taxes name.
Deregulating the karate movies, Bar. It's you know, you got the best of the best, 2, 4, I don't care. You can have a movie called American Shaolin, King of the Kickboxers 2, if it's got nothing to do with those kickboxers. You know what? We're getting the hell out of the video stores too, Bar. Let it go. Let it go to the wolves. But no, you'd think it's Trevor Got It All's movie, you know, or he's like the villain that's going to be in it a lot.
Oh, more than 4 minutes? Yeah, yes. That is what I was expecting.
Sure.
Somewhere in here, by the way, is the first, I believe, screen appearance, and I think it's like he's credited as like competitor to Melrose Place's Andrew Hsu.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Billy from Melrose Place, everybody.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a competitor in this movie. He was a competitor for a lot of ladies' hearts on Melrose Place, too.
Mostly Allison.
Oh, man.
God, I fucking hated that piece. I did with myself a little bit of what you call Until the Water Starts to Boil Melrose Place watch, where you watch it as much as you can, and then you're like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, that show got bad. Got bad fast.
Not going to do it, Bob. Can't keep watching this Melrose, Bar. Got a country to run.
I'm going to get the hell out of Melrose Place, Bar.
You know what, Bar? If you want to watch past Jack's car accident, that's fine with you, Bar. That's fine by you, Bar. I'm walking. Once Jack got in that car accident, Bar, you're telling me, nope, 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 that's not quality programming.
I stayed as long as Billy and Allison's engagement bar, and then I got the heck out of Dodge.
I mean, bar, really. How many times can the same apartment building catch on fire?
Whatever. We cut from Trevor Goddard's like murder studio to the big event, which is, again, like, you would think, honestly, like, because it's called King of the Kickboxers, whatever the fuck, you would think this is a, it feels like a sequel, right? Because it doesn't tell you who anyone is.
No, I honestly, listen, I stream this on YouTube. It's there right now.
Not allegedly, all right?
What? No, you know, unless you uploaded it, it's enough. It's on YouTube for free.
I'm just saying these people need to be compensated for this film they created.
All the remaining people who are left alive.
I saw that PSA that Benjamin Affleck did, and he said, don't you do it. Don't you dare do it.
The point is, I thought that there was something wrong with the YouTube file, and this started in like the middle of the movie. I thought it jumped from the opening credits to the middle of the movie, because this is like your end of Act 2 fight scene.
Yes.
And it's like, I should know that guy, I should know that trainer, I should know that lady.
Well, this is the what we call the inciting incident. Now, he's humiliated in this karate ring.
Our buddy Drew Carson.
Right.
By being pantsed during a martial arts competition.
Although,
so we're clear.
As I said last week, I think Shaolin is probably a derivative of Kung Fu, right?
I don't know. That's why I keep saying martial arts.
So this is mixed martial arts.
It's supposed to, I guess it's this kickboxing, is what happens, sort of. I don't know.
Yeah, Trevor Goddard, I think, is a kickboxer, and he's studying, I guess, Kung Fu.
Yeah.
This is what happens. This is the peril that happens when you deregulate the dojos.
People are pantsing people left and right.
You got kickboxers fighting karateers. It's madness.
And what's amazing
is, you got Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys fighting a horse.
Right. That's why Bill Clinton had to get in there and clean it up.
You can't be fighting horses, man. I know you want to, and I get it. I get it. As a man from the South, I get it. But you can't be punching a horse in the face for money.
Look, who hasn't gone to a Shaolin temple for enlightenment and getting the sweet, sweet ganj?
Holy fuck.
Right, Bar? That's right, George. I'm talking to your wife. I'll pants your wife, George.
What are you going to do about it, George?
I'll play the saxophone all over Barbara's back.
That was actually the title of his second saxophone solo album, was Barbara's Back.
You know, I know, like, that the idea of regulating the dojo sounds good, but George H.W. did have the surplus, the karate fighting surplus. By the time Clinton left office, dry as a desert out there.
You know, do you think that, I mean, because I would imagine, I mean, you know, martial arts classes and whatnot are still pretty popular, but it's certainly not the huge boom that it was in the 80s and 90s, clearly because of these movies. Like,
right.
I think we got to start making more of these white guy karate movies again.
Definitely. Wasn't there a movie that came out recently, that like ninja movie or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Maybe like 2 years ago, there was some sort of a ninja movie. Yeah. I mean, you'll get them every so often. It's more about the mixed martial arts now, like that that Joel Edgerton movie with Nick Nolte, right?
Oh, that's Fighter.
Fighter or something.
That's a good movie. You want a classic scene of two brothers telling Nick Nolte he's a piece of shit father? Tune in to The Fighter, or just Fighter.
God damn it. You know, maybe I didn't do a great job of raising you, but you're a fighter now. All right? You got to fight. Don't you have to fight? Why don't you use it, kid? Where's your VHS tape of American Shaolin? Fucking bought it for your 7th birthday.
Today's lesson.
We're watching American Shaolin. Take notes. Studious fucking notes. It'll remind you a lot of yesterday's lesson.
Oh. Think you got it all, huh?
All right,
yes.
To be super clear, so Trevor Goddard, who we thought was our hero of the movie, isn't. He comes to this...
it's like an all-valley type situation.
It's a very all-valley situation. We barely get introduced to Drew Carson. They have a fight. Drew is the first runner-up. You know what I mean? It's the last fight,
right.
The final.
Mm-hmm. The end of someone's movie.
Exactly, and they fight, and... not only does Trevor Goddard beat the shit out of Drew, he also pantses him in front of everybody. We don't get any ding-dong, but a lot of tighty-whities.
He opens this dude's fighting robe, yeah. And it's just hilarious tighty-whities, and this guy's going down like King Hippo.
That's going to get you disqualified, right?
That's what I'm talking about. This is the Wild West of fighting competitions.
It's deregulated. Anything goes. Sort of like MMA now, right? You could probably pull a guy's dick out in those fights. They let anything happen.
If you pull it out, I think you have to rip it off, though, is the rule. Otherwise, you lose points.
Ah, God damn it. Tug it. Rip it. Rip it off. You tug that. You rip that guy's dick off or you're not my son. Finish what you started. All right, we're going to trade with a bushel of bananas. I want to see this thing bare by the end of the minute. Go. Tick, 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 tick. Monkey grabs the peach.
So Drew's humiliated. And so we cut to, we're on, this is great. I think he and this Mr. Miyagi ripoff character.
Mr. Kwan, by the way.
Are totally homeless.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because cut to them just on a beach. Yeah. There's an abandoned, burned out car they're sitting next to.
That's why I was like, oh, this is Jersey.
And again, we don't know we don't know anything about anybody. We just see this. Mm-hmm. They look enough like the characters from the other movie. You're like, oh, I know what the relationship is.
Yeah.
He's the hard scrabble white kid and he's the old master.
But like the amazing turn, though, is this dude, what's his name, Mr. Kwan?
Yeah, Mr. Kwan.
Mr. Kwan reveals that, unlike Mr. Miyagi, he's been bullshitting this kid. He's like, I have a confession to make with you. I'm not any kind of sensei of anything. He's like, but you told me you went to the Shaolin Temple. He's like, yeah, I just told you what you needed to hear. And this dude is now sitting on a beach with this homeless man next to a burned out car. It's the plot of a Bruce Springsteen song.
Yeah, just come under the docks with me. I'll teach you something.
And he's like, everything I knew is a lie. I thought I could be this martial arts champion. But no, my guy pretended to be a master. Which brings to mind, like, what are you teaching this kid then? And how is this kid falling for it?
What's the arrangement? Is there money being changing hands? Like, oh, what yeah. is like, I mean, like,
something's
how much did
changing
Kwan,
hands.
How much did Kwan rip this kid off for? You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, I'm a Shaolin master, sure.
All the money he earned, you know, delivering dominoes that summer right to Kwan's bank account.
Hashtag bring back the Noid, absolutely.
Oh, of course, without question.
But yeah, it's just really like it is like the greatest sequel to Karate Kid ever. Is at the beginning, Miyagi's like, yeah, you lost because
yes.
I never taught you anything. I just watched a bunch of karate movies and kind of faked it.
Yeah, Nick Nolte was my dad.
So this dude is like, this kid's like, I'll go to the Shaolin Temple. And this guy is feeling so bad for yelling or lying to him. He's like, all right, well, let me pay your ticket to get there. I'm like, what am I watching? They're like haggling over travel arrangements because this guy lied about being a martial arts master.
Or he's like, you know what, man? Your security deposit, I'll return that for sure. I feel really bad about this.
I'll also move out of your mom's apartment. Or whatever the arrangement is.
And I will pay her back in installments. I owe her a lot of money. I'll give you, and I'll let your mom change her ATM password.
So, there's no scene where, like, a Mrs. LaRusso-esque mother is told, like, I'm leaving. This kid just bolts for China. Mm-hmm. Cut to, we're in China.
Yeah.
What is this visa arrangement? Where do you get the, he's like, oh, I'll pay my own way, Mr. Kwan. You don't have to worry about nothing. I'm like, that's like a couple of grand.
Did you really want to see him filling out visas?
Well, no, I mean, it's just... It's
the movie is
easy.
Already an hour and 45 minutes. But you can't just up and go to China.
Exactly.
Is the point. You can't...
You should get some shots, by the way.
Listen, it's not like one day you're like, you know, I've never really walked around or experienced this neighborhood of New York City. I'm just going to go there and see what I find. See what tickles my fancy. You can do that. With a New York neighborhood, you can't just be like, you know, I'm going to go to China, see what happens, see if I can find this temple. Don't really know where it is. Vaguely know the town.
Well, this is...
And I'm going to be there indefinitely.
Right. This is the call to adventure, guys.
Sure, okay.
In your life, you come to a crossroads. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
And you're like, for us, it's like, am I going to visit Little Italy or Chinatown? For people trying to better themselves, I'm going to up and move across the world. You know, we actually know a guy who did this. Chris Cabin.
Oh, right. That's why he's MIA. He's at a Shaolin temple right now.
He's training. He's training right now.
So what I like about this episode, Eric, is you're giving us a nice little screenwriting class here. We had our inciting incident.
That's right.
Now we have our call to adventure. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is like a movie.
Yeah. Now we're getting going, like a movie, right? Yeah. So now it's like we had our second act. We've got the rising action, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which will be leading us to a climax of some kind.
This is a perfect film.
This is, yeah. I mean, we had our classic first act mentor. Turns out to be a fraud.
Yeah,
sends you off to another place.
I like classic that. Screenplay setup. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, uh-huh.
He goes to. He winds up in front of the Shaolin Temple, and he's like, this guy's dressed like an asshole the entire movie,
without question, a grade A asshole.
You know, people.
Oh yeah, he's got a Giants T-shirt on and a Mets hat.
Let me tell you something about this Giants T-shirt before we get too far away from it. This is bootleg NFL memorabilia, if I've ever seen it. I can spot that shit a mile away, and this is just screaming. You bought that off the street from somebody.
Right after the game in front of the Meadowlands, the then Meadowlands.
Oh sure,
but the thing is, you want to. Rule number one about traveling abroad, leave your sports shirt at home.
Yep.
You don't want to get like mugged or like bad service or anything like that. Just leave the Giants shirt at home.
If you have to wear one, don't have it clash with an MLB item as well. You know, like pick one for your outfit.
If you must have an outfit.
Yeah, we're critiquing outfits now.
It's a coordinated
fashion podcast now.
The other thing is though, it's bad enough, like, you're coming to this place and just yelling down the street, where is the temple? You know, like, don't be dressed like an asshole while you're doing it. That's all I'm asking of you, stupid character Drew Carson, I hate.
Well, this is when you start to hate him, because you don't really know anything about him. You feel bad for him initially. He gets pantsed in scene one. In scene two, you realize he's been fleeced for months, if not years, on this phony dojo.
That's what I needed. I need that timetable. I need to know how long this guy's grift was going.
I mean, he was good enough to get him to the semifinals, man.
It was probably since his, like, sixth birthday.
He's given Mr. Kwan all his birthday money since he was six.
That's right.
The movie should start with Kwan reading about the deregulation of the dojos and then rubbing his hands together like, oh, don't mind if I do.
Right.
Cha-ching.
And then he finds out crime doesn't pay. It weighs on his moral conscience.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting movie. That's a good movie. But first scene, pants. Second scene, frauded. Third scene, he's in China saying, hey, does anybody speak English or what?
Oh, man. And this is
just like, you fucking dick.
Dude, this is America comes to pig town with this guy. And this is from the third scene with this guy. I'm like, oh. I despise this character and everything that he is and everything that he will become.
And it never gets any better.
It doesn't stop.
And like this, he yells at some girl and she's like, oh. And then this other girl who does speak English is like, oh, hi, I'm really nice. Like, fucking finally. It's like, you're in fucking China, man. Guys. And she kind of does have this line like, wouldn't you think everyone speaks Chinese? And he's like, yeah, I guess so.
Dude, it's amazing. He reacts.
I guess so.
He reacts like an angry parent who just finally found their shitty kid in the food court. Like, oh, there you are.
There's English.
Idiot.
Friggin' English, finally.
And it is awesome because she's like, don't you think it's more weird that you don't speak Chinese is the way she puts it. And he's like, fucking shut up and tell me where the monastery is. You know, I'm the hero of this film. So he goes to the monastery and, in a great turn of events, is instantly Jazzy Jeffed out of the facility, which is great. Because he comes up like any big old American pig and is like, I deserve to get training here. And they're like, yeah, but no. And he's like, but America, but red, white, blue, 50 fucking stars, motherfucker. And they just like toss this dude.
But he goes up to the first monk he sees. He's like, oh, hi, master, I'd like to be trained. And like the guy's sweeping and he's like, oh, you don't fucking speak English? What are you, deaf, you fucking monk? And I'm like, dude, where is your inner tranquility or anything or subservience or anything you need to become a monk?
And he's also calling the dude Baldy. And it's like,
oh,
I
man.
I thought you wanted to be one of these guys.
No, he doesn't. I mean, there's such wrong-headed motivation. You know what I mean? He keeps saying that shit. He's just like,
yeah, I want to be a monk. Of course I want to be a monk. I've always wanted to be a monk. It's like, no, you only wanted to be a monk once the fucking gas ran out on the Quan train.
Once he got pantsed in front of your ex-girlfriend.
There's a sequence of he just walks into the monastery while they're doing like a ceremony, and he's just like, hey! I want to be trained.
Dude,
I'm an American.
They are meditating. They're in the middle of like meditation or a prayer session or whatever. And he just fat American pigs his way in here. And he just pigs out all over this place.
I think one of the things that this movie is missing, just one.
This character being assassinated in the street.
I think a lot of this thing is like, it's a religious order. It's predominantly about practicing that religious whatever.
Yes.
It's not all about kung fu kicks, kid.
And he never learns that. No. No one ever really. People do explain it to him, and he's like, Yeah.
Yeah. Shut up. Just teach me how to fight better.
Yeah. Buddhism. I'm a leaf in a pond. Got it. Fuck you. Great. You gotta kick somebody. I don't want to get pantsed again.
Won't be pantsed again.
So they toss his, they toss him out or whatever.
He gets Jazzy Jeffed. It's my favorite part of the movie.
And then he goes to the village and he stays with the one girl that speaks English.
Right. They're at like some restaurant that her uncle owns or some such business.
She's like, she's sitting quietly with her uncle. They're about to eat dinner. She's like, you'll never believe who I ran into today. It was just the most annoying, obnoxious. Hey, does anybody speak English or what? It's like, oh my God, he's back. Oh, I thought he was going to go. So I thought he was just going to, I guess.
Oh shit, he saw me in the window. Oh God, he's coming in.
Finally, the fucking one girl in the world who doesn't speak my language, the one true language.
Hey.
Then he's like,
what are we having for dinner? Yeah. I hate that.
I live here now. Move over.
Don't you like my Mets hat?
And then,
give me a hamburger. Where's the hamburger? What do you got any hamburgers in this house? No cheese in this country.
And then this uncle's just talking to her, and then she's like, you know what? I'm going to spin a yarn, get this guy out of my hair. I heard, he was just telling me about, there was this monk that went down to that monastery. They wouldn't let him in, too. Wouldn't you know it? What a thing. And he sat outside for like 50 days. They like let him in or something. So, I don't know, maybe try it.
And then it's great because he's like, oh, thanks for the advice, old wise man or whatever. And he's like mildly polite to this gentleman.
Just mildly.
So he goes and he sits in front of this monastery and it's just like they keep treating him like shit and ignoring him and whatever. And finally, the dude that he verbally assaulted at the beginning of his venture into this monastery comes out and he's like, hey, whatever. Did you learn anything by sitting out here? And he's like, yeah, it was this great experience, blah, 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 blah.
He also says, yeah, but you're just a janitor, so what do I care?
He's like, yeah, great advice, pal, but you're just a janitor, so you can't help me anyway. And the dude's like, hi, I'm a Fred Monastery. I run this monastery.
I'm the fucking abbot here, you piece of shit.
But so the thing is, and, you know, I got to put it on these monks, man.
Put it on them, man. Stack it up.
All of the frustration and obnoxious behavior that they are forced to deal with for the coming months, including some legal trouble later, it's all on them. Just close the door and let this dude freeze to death.
Why would you admit this guy? Maybe you do for, because he does the thing.
As a laugh?
Yeah, as a goof.
Yeah, you're just but goofing on this
you're
going
to kick him out eventually, as we'll get to. There's many transgressions.
The first one, he's gone. And I agree with you, Eric. Like, it's a thing. It's one thing if somebody comes up and is like, hey, look, I need to learn, my mind is cloudy. I'm angry all the time. I need to learn your interesting Buddhist ways. And if I can learn some karate along the way, that'd be great. He's like, hey, what day is karate class? When do we learn how to kick? And it's like, dude, this is... Just go to fucking the valley and go to Cobra Kai if you want.
Go. I mean, that's the thing. You didn't have to leave the valley to do what this kid wants to do.
Yes.
And that's what kills me. Like, he's just this fucking moron that's like, I guess I'll go become a monk, which, like, is such a major life choice. You know what I mean?
It's supposed to be, maybe a lifelong commitment. Like,
certainly.
It's not supposed to be, like, your magical summer, you ass.
And also, the cost of the plane ticket would be 2 years worth of karate classes at least.
Oh, sure. Well, I guess the thing is, if you are going to be really committed to this lifestyle, you're kind of just off the grid, right? Like, monks aren't getting bills.
It's true. Yeah, I guess
not. Is a monk getting a credit card bill?
Hold on a second.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm going to get my monk shoes on and get out of here.
Coming Sally, next... Sally Mae monk would find you.
That is the deadliest Shaolin monk of them all.
Oh, yes. She will bleed you dry.
Yes. Yes.
What I love is, so they admit him, and they're like, all right, coincidentally, there's this new incoming class of monks that you can join immediately. And they're doing this ceremony where they're, like, taking the vows. Like, these very serious vows. And every dude is expected to say the same thing, which is, like, yes, master, without hesitation, or whatever it is, right?
Oh, my God. And this, oh, my fucking
it's
God.
It's without pause.
Oh, without pause. You're right. And it's, you have seen this 15 times.
Probably, yeah.
And every single person is doing it, right?
Right.
One after another.
Including Daniel J. Kim from Lost.
And then, you're listening to him, too. You're listening. You're at a ceremony. You're watching people say things.
He's right. In the same room as these people. And then they get to this kid, and they say the same thing. And he goes, sure do, master. You bet. At this point, I'm this like temple master, right? I'm grabbing this kid by the balls and I'm dragging him out of my temple for all time.
That's I would knock his teeth out and then grab his skull and keep pounding it on the ground until it fractures.
Oh wow.
I mean, you gotta make an example of someone. It's the first day of class.
Yes, that's true. It's much like prison.
It is very much like prison. Monkery? Yep.
The head, not the head monk, but the drill sergeant, as this obnoxious kid keeps calling him, even though I'm sure he's got a more beneficent title.
Oh, yeah. And this guy is my favorite character. And never have I wished harder for a movie to be about a supporting player versus the protagonist than in this situation. This guy has a very interesting life that we get almost nothing about. But this dude comes in and he's like, quick tip, stop being a disrespectful piece of shit and answer the way you just heard 40 other dudes say exactly the same thing.
What's his name, anybody?
I don't recall this guy's name. He's another master. Yeah. So then what we get, now remember we were talking about, right?
Go ahead. A deleted scene in the ceremony because everybody...
Something tells me all the scenes shot for this movie made it into the film.
A deleted scene is when they're like, oh, we're going to, in Chinese, everyone says, welcome to the ceremony. Thank you so much. By the way, we have one white student, so we're going to, everyone in the world is going to speak flawless English for the rest of the movie. And they're like, oh, okay, got it. And then they just go.
And it's almost as if 90% of the people that are in this monastery were American-born Asian actors.
What?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
It's the most flawless, like, California English every single one of these dudes has.
Oh, cowabunga, master. I would totally love to be a monk. I mean, yes, master.
But, like, there is a switch where it's like everyone's just like, I guess we're not speaking Chinese anymore.
They drop speaking whatever dialect of Chinese they're speaking in favor of humoring this blowhard and speaking English. And they all speak English amazingly well.
Better than him.
Oh, yeah. Better than that troglodyte? Absolutely.
Yep.
So now we're... first scene is the haircut, which I was actually surprised that he shaved his head. Because he's got your average scruffy piece of shit haircut.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. But listen, you can't make a movie like this and have this asshole in a bald cap the entire time.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Did you guys read the trivia?
I did. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, my God. Apparently.
Yeah. Lay it on me.
Jason Bateman was going to play this part. And dropped out because he didn't want to shave his head. I think this might be a lie and hubris by the director, but I don't know.
Yeah. Jason Bateman turned us down for a haircut. Okay.
But think about it, man. Him wanting his beautiful hair, and I know it is beautiful.
The Bateman mane?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a lioness.
But... Yeah. It deprives me of a Bateman white guy karate movie, which is something I never knew I needed until I read that.
Yeah, that's true. Now that I'm just thinking on it is a loss to cinema.
It is, because you can't do it now because he's too old. And you needed the 1988 to 1992 Jason Bateman. That's
why,
what you wanted.
Yep. Why couldn't that have been a Teen Wolf sequel?
Yep.
Karate Teen Wolf martial arts. I mean, it's right there, Hollywood, you God. Idiots.
It's just sitting there. And it's a beautiful thing.
Like a worn pie on a cartoon windowsill waiting for a wolf to steal it.
Someone needs to make a werewolf karate movie.
Listen, it's got No Brainer written all over it as far as I'm concerned.
I think it's a great idea. And like everyone's like, wait, why are you letting this werewolf compete? And they're like, well, he's got tranquility. He's got, you know what I mean? He's everything else. He can break those boards.
Oh, sure. His head's in the right place. He can do it. So they cut to like, I mean, remember we talked about how like, you know, your second act has to be rising action to a crescendo leading to a climax.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure, sure.
So we're just going to watch them like do a bunch of chores for most of the movie, including digging out the new shitter, which is great.
Which he's offended by, but it's like you're not digging shit. You're digging a pit that will be shit.
It'll be filled with shit.
And he's like, oh, why do I got? I traveled halfway around the world to dig a latrine. Why didn't I just join the fucking army? What the fuck? And they're like, dude. Go ahead and leave. Do everyone a favor and leave.
You know who else is complaining a lot in this movie? And I noticed it right away.
Who's that?
No one. Not one of these other dudes is like, yeah, fuck it. This manual labor is ridiculous. We should lead a revolt. It's just the asshole, lazy American.
It's supposed to be like a pious, selfless thing. You're supposed to give yourself to the church. You joined a clergy.
Yep.
And now you're mad that they're not giving you Twinkies every day?
Oh, my favorite scene in this, like, kind of whatever middling thing is when he sits down for, he spends all day digging a ditch.
Oh, yep.
Much against his own will, and then sits down finally for dinner, and they give him a bowl of white rice and a bowl of, like, a broth. And he goes, ugh, great. And the monk, the head monk, the drill sergeant guy, he's like, oh, fine, you don't want it? You don't get to eat. And I was like, oh, let this happen for 12 days and then he dies.
Oh, totally. I want to see this dude turn into fucking Hunger directed by Steve McQueen. Also around this part, so he's had a long day at digging this shitter, right? All these dudes have been working real hard. They get back to the barracks, their little, you know, bungalow that they live in. And he's like, huh, rough day. I need to relax.
Oh, Jesus.
And he... He pulls out a porno mag, and this other kid is like, hey, what's that? And he's like, oh, right, Communist China. Maybe you haven't seen pornography. Cut to all these dudes gathered round while this guy, this American, is laughing hysterically at the porno mag.
And I mean, like...
Jack.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
you're in a room of 12 vicious Shaolin monks jerking off vigorously. I mean, they don't show it, but I think that's what you're.
Well,
like
there is
to
that.
Believe.
There is that puzzling scene. I think you put it together for me now. The puzzling scene right after this, where it's the next morning, and the master comes in, and he's like, "Finally, a night where you guys all just slept and weren't fucking around. You were sleeping like rocks. What's going on?" It's because they jerked off to that porno after they laughed at it.
All except Daniel Day Kim, who's there for the right reasons.
Yes,
he's the one character that I'm with through and through this entire movie because he doesn't like this white asshole's bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Daniel Day Kim is the hero of this film. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he's sidelined into like, you know, like sidecar role. Like he's the sidekick almost.
It should have been the other way around. Like think about like this guy going through his life. Like, oh my God, one day when I'm old enough, I'm going to become a Shaolin monk. I'm going to join the church. Right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We start the movie monastery. From his story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh God, I'm finally here. This is amazing. I'm going to be learning from the masters. Hey, what's up? And then this fucking ugly piece of shit American. Yep. This is the ugliest of ugly Americans,
oh, yeah.
Man.
Oh, my course. Lord. I keep calling him a pig for a reason.
And then he's just farting up your temple, dude. And that drives Gao to murder.
Oh, yeah. If Gao killed him.
He would have to, right? Just for the greater good of the Shaolin Temple. It's like, I thought they were going to expel this guy 3 times ago. They're not. It's up to me now.
Exactly. Bury him in that latrine pit.
Oh, listen. He didn't tell anyone he was coming here. No one's going to find this guy. If his parents, like, hear word, you know, that he went there or whatever, you know, and then they go, they fly themselves out there, and it's like, we heard rumors that our son may have come here. Oh, yeah. He came here. We didn't let him in, though.
Yeah.
You know?
And then, you know, you cut him up and you scatter those bones.
Dude, you know, you're not walking around the entire property of a monastery. They're not going to comb through that shit.
Yeah, you bury a femur there, a collarbone there. Like, no one's going to find
Maybe you're wearing a skull as a hat for a little while.
That'd yeah, why not?
The one thing...
They leave your car in the back of your chop shop lot, you know? Never find them.
Not in Manitowoc County. Here's something. A deleted scene that I think also happened. Another one of my deleted scenes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He comes in first day, and he's like, gotta train me. And they're like, oh, fuck. Is this... It's another American kid, right? Yeah, It's that Quan on the other side of the pond. He tells these kids that he knows Shaolin, and then 2 years in, after they lose some karate competition, he says, oh, by the way, I didn't. And then it's up to us to train them, because this asshole is besmirching Shaolin in the greater county areas of fucking Venice.
Listen, kid, you got Quan'd, and that's not our problem. Get out.
Or maybe this
Last one.
This might be, like, it could lead into, like a Ty Westian type of horror movie. Like, no, I didn't train at the Shaolin Temple. You got to go on your own. And then you get there, and they're merciless, man.
Oh,
and they rip you apart.
Yeah.
And they kill you. And they keep killing all these Americans that show up.
And there's a brilliantly...
I guess this is more like Eli Rothian.
Yeah, I was going to say, it could be Westian if you then add a brilliantly choreographed tenth sequence of someone dancing to a song by The Fix.
Right, yeah. And then maybe, I don't know, an old fat ghost.
You cut to the abbot's like his private room. It's got all these baseball caps. It's like the Broncos, the Cowboys, just everything.
Yeah. I collect them. I almost have the entire NFL.
But I do love your fat ghost idea. This is our Jim Belushi cameo, obviously.
The ghost of Rick Latimer.
Oh, man, I was training with this guy, Quan, and he said he was a phony. So I wanted to get the real stuff, and they slit my throat.
Oh, man, I should have seen it coming. The master kept commenting on my cubby's hat. Oh, yeah, Jim, you got a nice, pretty cubby's hat there.
Looked pretty good on my wall, he said.
I thought he was joking. Now I'm a fat ghost.
Jim Belushi is fat ghost.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't even have the article "the." It's just fat ghost.
One for fat ghost, please. I didn't think this was going to be about a Shaolin monastery. I was going to be a fat ghost having fun.
Also, I guarantee you a lot of single ticket sales for fat ghost.
Yep.
A lot of lonely hearts at the fat ghost screenings.
Whatever, man.
Yeah. Oh, woof. Oh, actually, here's the most putrid part of this movie. I'm trying to think of different ways to describe how offensive and horrible this movie is. So the most putrid part of this movie is they're back digging this latrine, and he starts singing Summertime Blues. Oh, man. Oh, man. And this is our first time out of, what?
Seven
times
they sing this song
or play Summertime Blues.
Now, in the first time, is this when they change it to Shaolin Temple Blues?
No.
That happened, right?
Oh, it does
happen.
Don't
tell me it didn't happen.
Listen,
I saw it happen
last night.
Well, he's singing it, and then the drill sergeant's like, hey, no singing. It's about mindfulness and being present in the moment, you asshole.
You're supposed to learn some humility.
And then this kid reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a chicken parm sandwich and throws it at him.
No, he just jerks off from the pornography he's looking at right then and there.
Dude, laughing at pornography in a group is for losers.
Just laughing.
Look how fucking funny this pornography is. Oh, man.
It's so funny. We're all getting a bunch of chubbies.
Oh, man, I'm laughing so hard that I'm hard.
Did say cubbies? No, fat ghost. No.
Oh, you snuck in some porno mags.
I like the new kid. I hope he doesn't get murdered.
Gee, wish I thought to sneak in some nudie mags before they cut my throat.
My offense was preparing a Chicago-style hot dog.
These monks claim they never saw pickles on a dog before. I tried to prove them wrong, and they cut my throat. Fat goat.
Well, it was my third strike after listening to the World Series.
Oh, yeah. He would be demanding a radio get placed in the monastery.
But the cubbies.
He's breaking out of the monastery to hear the cubbies in the World Series. And he's like, this is a little familiar.
Oh, man, there's that monk's Filofax. Hey, what's going on? Streams crossing.
This is Jim Belushi in the Nexus, I think.
That would be awesome to see that idiot toil in the Nexus.
I would love to see him on in Star Trek.
Absolutely. Oh, hey, Picard, you fucking bald idiot. What, I'm being jettisoned out of a torpedo bay?
Goodbye, fat ghost. Much like Hamlet before me, I too must wave goodbye to a fat ghost.
Oh boy.
Man. So this movie, American Shaolin.
What's this movie?
He sings Summertime Blues. He gets yelled at. And then everyone around him doesn't know what rock and roll is, which is total bullshit. They would.
Of course.
They're like, oh, what are you doing, white guy? It sounds so interesting, and it's going to change our lives. Like, all right, guys, let me teach you this song. And they're singing. This is when it turns to the Shaolin Temple Blues.
Right, and this is the worst use of montage in cinema history.
Oh, big time. Fucking Kuleshov and Eisenstein are rolling over in their burned graves.
But you don't even, at the end of the montage, he's not even good at being a monk. Usually it's like,
he's actually worse.
Usually it's like, oh, during this montage, we'll see him. He won't get it right the first time. He'll get it right the second time or the third time or whatever. And then by the end of it, he's doing pretty well.
Right. Well, he's doing worse in this case because he's not studying to be a monk. He's too busy pretending to be fucking Weird Al Yankovic and writing a goddamn Shaolin Temple Blues parody of a song that everybody hates in the first place.
And every so often they cut to Daniel Day Kim with his arms folded, shaking his head like, man, I came here for religious enlightenment.
Meanwhile, this white idiot is leading a crusade of 40 other dudes down the wrong path.
Right. He's got them jerking off. He's got them singing bad music.
They play a prank on the drill sergeant, dude, which is what? So ridiculous.
This is like, this guy is like your piece of shit friend from high school who comes and visits you like in your adult life. And it's like, we're up to all our old tricks. Here's this gag, and we're going to look at a nudie mag, and we're going to do... And you're like, you know what, Trevor? Just go home.
Mm-hmm.
Just go home. We can't be friends anymore, Trevor. I'm not going to set a booby trap for my religious enlightenment drill sergeant.
I thought Trevor got it all.
Oh, no, not that Trevor.
Oh, this is a loser Trevor.
Yeah, okay. This is a fictitious Trevor you wouldn't want visiting your home.
Actually, I don't think I'd want Trevor got it all there either.
I don't think I want any Trevor there. Apologies to any listener named Trevor. You got a bad rap.
Yeah, I mean, you all seem like a bunch of pantsers. You seem like I need to tighten my belt around you.
It's all got it all's fault. You take it up with him.
That's a belt and suspenders day.
Wow, a belt and suspenders day.
Those are rare.
You're paranoid.
You're either paranoid about being pantsed or you're too old to know that you put on a belt already.
I always wear a belt and suspenders, Data. I was pantsed in the academy by Commandant Gotadol's son.
I wear it underneath my unitard zip-up uniform. Figure that out, Mr. Data.
Is that how he got stabbed in the heart or whatever?
Oh, man. What a tragic episode of that show.
What a delightful episode.
Young Picard just getting lit up in that bar fight.
Because I wasn't wearing my suspenders.
My bulletproof vest fell down and I was stabbed through the heart by a monster.
But it made him the man who he is.
It is, yeah. So. If not, he'd be just some wussy medical officer.
Fat ghost, I have a report from Guinan that you've been breaking into 10 forward in the middle of the night and drinking all of our synthahol.
Actually, it's an alternate timeline where you were totally pushing out. Now it's Captain Fat Ghost.
Oh, no.
Medical officer.
Oh, God.
Oh, Q, I need to go back. I can't take orders from the fat ghost anymore. Q, send me back.
Did someone say Q like Quiznos? Boy, I'm starving.
That's the Q.
In this universe. Sorry, Picard. In this universe, Q means Quiznos. You
can't go back to your timeline.
You're not going to get an omnipotent god alien. You're going to get a toasted sub. And it's going to be toasted whether or not you want it that way, Picard, because it's Quiznos and that's company policy.
Hope you like mayonnaise.
Man, you just try to get a Quiznos sandwich maker to not toast your sandwich. They'll spit in your face.
They still exist, probably not, right?
Quiznos, they're around.
I think they're falling, though.
Yeah.
I think
they're getting schooled by that Jimmy John's.
Oh, yeah.
But the owner of that Jimmy John's hunts big game, so that makes that guy a huge asshole.
Oh, and then the Subways touch kids.
Oh, that's no one at the Subway Corporation. Of course, that was...
I heard they did.
That was advertising legend Jared Fogle.
Well, I don't know. It sounds, one rotten apple probably spoils the bunch.
Take that, nice businessman who operates the Subway on my block.
So after not being expelled for doing this prank, this like stupid Home Alone-esque prank where...
There's like a bucket of water and another bucket of flour and who cares?
After that, after all this shit, he's like... He's sitting around, he goes home, he goes back to the cot, and he's really tired from a day of ditch digging. He's like, you know what, guys? I am so fucking sick and tired of these monks telling me how to dig shit. I just want to learn how to do karate. Isn't that why you signed up? And everyone's like, no, not really. And he's like, yeah, let's go tell these monks we want to learn karate right now.
Wait, no, I was actually born into this religion. And, my grandfather actually did this, and I don't want to... Dump. I don't want to waste food, first of all.
No, shut up, or I'll shove you.
You know, I wasn't going to say anything because I figured you'd eventually just drop out after the first week. But it's been a month, and I have to tell you, I find it very insulting the way that you continually, endlessly, offensively shit all over the culture I was born into. I just had to say it. I just had to get it off my back, Drew. You know, in China, we use our full names everywhere at all times. Drew. Just put that out there.
And you know, I would love to be speaking Chinese right now, but the monks say we have to all speak English all the time because Drew is here and we don't want Drew to feel isolated. Heaven the F forbid. You're making me curse, Drew. You know what you're doing? You're making a monk curse.
Okay, Drew, I get it. What, did your dad cut a check to help put a new wing on the monastery? I get it, Drew. We're going to have the new Drew Monk Library soon. You freeloader.
So, but no, he does gather everybody up.
Somehow these dudes are behind him.
Except for Daniel Day-Kim, again, the only guy that you're behind in this movie.
I think there should be a side movie called Daniel Day-Kim Stars in The Good Monk.
So they go up there, and he's about to tell him off, and the monk is like, oh... You know, I've heard so many good things about all you guys, blah, blah, blah. We're going to start the fight training tomorrow because that's what you guys are really excited about. And he does this hamana, hamana. Yeah, I was just coming to say you're doing a great job too. And then he gets all these monks to lie for him.
Yeah.
Which is just another like, this, it's not what they believe in.
You're just putting these kids in quicksand with you, Drew.
They start learning how to fight. Daniel Day-Kim beats the shit out of him at the first chance he gets.
Oh, it's awesome.
And he gets trained by side-trained by this deaf monk who he berates the entire time.
Oh, he's got a real problem with the fact that he doesn't know exactly what's wrong with this guy,
yep.
But right. He knows that this guy is different from him and he hates it. Guy's name is what?
I think it's Yaba?
Yeah, something like that.
And he speaks in a series of like grunts and groans. And
right.
Yeah.
But that dude kicks this guy's ass.
Of course.
But he's like, oh, what are you going to teach me, Yaba, you fucking idiot? And he's like, well,
I'll show you. And he beats the shit out of
him. Yeah, it's actually we're meant to seem less than we are. You know, like.
Yes.
Right.
That's like the whole point.
It's, yeah.
Also, by the way, when I'm, I almost said buying a ticket. What I meant was discount renting on a 2-for-1 deal, American Shaolin, : King of the Kickboxers 2.
: Die Hard 6.
: The prequel to Schindler's List. I'm expecting a certain level of... a certain number of fight scenes.
Yep.
And when they finally get back to the fight training in this movie, I was like, oh, right, that movie. Yep. Oh, with fighting in it. That's weird.
Well, because you think, like, the way that the movie's structured, it should be, humiliated first.
Sure.
I go for a little while, get trained, about 40 minutes later, I'm back in America, and now I'm back on the circuit, and I'm trying to qualify or something.
Dude, I was missing the All Valley qualifiers this entire movie. I really was. There's another. This is what kills me too. It's like this kid is that kid in your grade school that was always getting into trouble, and he always had a line for everything, and he kind of like he got in trouble so much he kind of had like a buddy Barton Skinner relationship with the principal.
Yep.
And that's what this prick is. And it's just like there's another thing where he sneaks them all out to they get like a day where they get to go out. It's like their Sunday.
Oh, yeah. They go to the town.
They wind up getting in a fight with these dudes. The sensei is there. The master is there. And he beats the shit out of all these locals.
It's a pretty good scene.
It's pretty great. We're fighting.
He's got like his prayer beads and he like ties all these dudes into a knot together.
It's pretty awesome.
The like, master is built like a fucking brick shit house.
They couldn't build this latrine that this guy's built out of. It's awesome. And that's this scene.
This is where God shits.
This scene was where I was like, I want this movie to be about this guy. But at the end of that scene, the girl who directed him to the monastery at the beginning of the movie that he berated horribly and unfairly is like, for some reason, she's like, hey, my school's having a dance. You and all your friends should totally come. So he sneaks them out. And before that, though, we get this thing of like, well, all the other monk candidates are like, well, we don't know what to do with girls. We don't know how to talk with girls.
Well, one of them says, actually, oh, no, the vow of not talking to women is the most important vow we're about to take. And he's like, yeah, but karate. It's like, but you idiot.
So they're like, we don't know what to do with girls. We don't know how to dance. And this guy is like, yeah, I'll teach you monks how to dance. Let's watch this white guy dance. And, oh, man. I don't say this lightly because of the low level at which I conduct myself on the dance floor. I can dance better than this guy. I can dance fabulously. I'm fucking Fred Astaire compared to this guy.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
This guy's terrible.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
It's just embarrassing fake movie dancing. And these guys, like these poor bastards that have to play these classmates of this kid are like, mimicking what he's doing and like taking notes and this guy's dance moves are basically like jump around like you're doing an impression of a monkey.
Yeah.
You know, and these guys are then having to do it and you're
just fair, it was 1992. Just throwing that out there.
92.
Yeah, or 91, whatever it was.
The movie was out in 91. Oh. I guarantee you this was filmed in 1989.
Yeah.
Struggled to find release.
Now is it monkey with an E in it, or is it like we're monks at a Y?
Oh, no, they weren't dancing like famous fake stoner band The Monkees. No.
Well, I thought maybe is there like a drunken fighter dance they could do? Or
that'd be fun.
Sure. You know what? Quite literally anything is better than the dancing that we see here.
So they throw their vows in the garbage, and they're like, you know, I might as well just like chuck this whole... I guess this whole summer's been ruined.
Yeah, let's take a huge wet dump on our heritage.
And, you know, maybe ruin my life. Because I might be working at the Quiznos in Beijing after this.
Oh, man. The Beijing Quiznos, you don't want to eat there.
No.
They're definitely going to toast that sandwich.
Also, this white guy can get an HJ. That's what my life is worth.
Yep. Oh, exactly. I'm going to sneak out and endanger all that I know so this dude can get jerked off in the corner of the dark gymnasium.
Hey, gal. Watch if the coast is clear. I'm getting a HJ.
Oh, yeah, totally. Gao's definitely playing lookout.
Because Gao and him become friends because there's yet another inciting incident where they start a fight.
Oh, right.
And, like, they knock over a priceless statue. Because
that's only 2,000 years old. Fuck it.
And the guy, the abbot, is like, look.
Calling him an abbot. I mean, there's got to be a name for this, but we're going with abbot.
It's that or his eminence, whichever's fine right
now. That's what I read on Wikipedia. That's what the head of a monastery is an abbot.
Is it? Okay. Yes. Well, I thought you were just
European
saying, like, you know.
Monastery. That's like we're making abbey ale here.
Hey, abbot!
No, come on, everybody.
Listen, I hate that guy.
Here's the thing is, we're ugly Americans making fun of an ugly American.
But
we don't know shit from
we're ugly
Shinola.
Americans. This guy's a level 13 pigakin.
Pigakin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Piggish American.
Sure.
Why not?
Sure.
Listen, I'm inventing stuff on the spot. What do you want?
But he puts them all on blast like one more time and you're fucking out. I swear to God. Right. And because of that, they
swear to God.
They
and that's a big deal. I'm an abbot. I mean, I know him.
They become like friends because they covered for each other, like, you know, you would. Like, again, if you were in the military, not if you were both trying to become monks.
Right.
So they're all there. They're dancing. And then another group of guys, they get into another karate fight right when this guy's about to make out. He's also wearing, by the way, he's wearing a sweatsuit that is black and pink and says Seaside Heights all up and down it.
Yipe.
That's, I mean, to your point, Eric, this was filmed in New Jersey. It had to have been. You don't have a Seaside Heights sweatsuit unless you're in and around the Philadelphia area.
I mean, maybe he's from
that's possible. Area. I didn't see American Kickboxer Kings 1 or whatever the fuck fake movie there was that didn't even happen.
Oh, that's got nothing to do with this. I looked up that movie. There's like a gargoyle on the covers.
What?
I don't know. It's just some obscene cover that looks nothing like the cover for this movie.
They get into another fight. Cool. The cops break it up.
Oh, they amscray, though, is what they do. And like then, real noble monks.
And now the Chinese government is coming into this guy's monastery.
Oh, yeah. They're puffing their cigarettes all through this scene.
And it's man, like, just smoking in a monastery.
And this monk is like, great, that's exactly what I needed. This is, I've been fighting...
Oh, by the way, I just the internet ticker.
Yeah.
It looks like the head of a Shaolin temple, I guess, is an abbot.
Wow, Steve used the internet correctly for once.
That's right.
Hey, all right.
So the abbot.
Hey, abbot.
The abbot is just guy. Like a great. This is exactly what I need. The Chinese government that's been. It's kind of like the end of like. Meatballs. It's like the government's been waiting to close this monastery down.
We just had to give them a reason, and now here they are sniffing at the front gates.
Now we need a talent contest.
Only a talent contest will save this monastery.
That crusty old supreme leader. Whatever.
So they were like, we want this guy deported. We want him out of here. He's definitely out of your monastery. We want him out of America, by the way, or out of China. By the way, what's his visa status? Like, what's...
Yeah, how did he get there? Who is this guy? You know, where is the papers?
Also, is he CIA? He's probably CIA. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Then this kid waddles in and farts and knocks over another 2,000-year-old statue, and they're like, you know what? No, he's definitely not CIA.
And then the abbot is like, look, you know, he tells this whole story about, like, you know, peace and respectfulness and blah, blah, blah. We need to save this kid's life. This is the only thing that's keeping him on the right path, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like the Chinese government gives a shit about this white kid.
Oh, man, do they pull a Jedi mind trick on these two government representatives.
You're right.
Because, like, the other guy, the big, beautiful, muscular dude, he comes in and he's just like, hey, Abbott, let me give it a try. And he's like... You guys are so great and honorable for bringing this issue to our attention, and start spinning a beautifully crafted line of bullshit to these people. And this guy, he's just sitting there. He's playing like a cold Chinese militant, like sucking back these cigarettes. And the guy's heart is like melted. And they're like, well, very well. You just see that you take care of him. We'll be on our way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, this dude's being fucking beheaded in the town square.
Yeah, I mean, firing squad, probably.
Oh, that's probably more realistic.
And,
oh, yeah, they love it.
And what you call it, Drew saw this, and he's like, oh, man, they stuck up for him. And he comes in, he's like, he's chumming around with everybody. He's like, thank God, you guys are awesome. It'll never happen again. They're like, oh, by the way, you're totally expelled.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh.
It's beautiful.
What
it?
A satisfying just moment in the film.
Yeah, because he walks in there like, yeah, I got my get out of jail free card.
Yep. Yeah, totally.
I could just do whatever crimes I want, say I'm with Shaolin.
By the way, I am CIA. It's just like, I was CIA the whole time. All right. And they expel him. And I don't even remember the circumstances into which they let him. Oh, that's right. Everybody says we're all gonna walk.
Right, because he gets kicked out. He's got all of his New York, New Jersey area sports memorabilia.
He got his bootleg merch.
He's got his New York, New Jersey Hitmen T-shirt.
Yeah, and he takes his dirty old Mets cap and he leaves that Shaolin Temple. And lo and behold, what's this? What's going around the town? Emerging are his fellow students. All with their bags ready to hit the road.
Oh, yeah. They're standing in solidarity with this idiot.
Oh, we're all going back to America with you, right, Drew? Yeah, sure. because our families would kick us out if they knew that we blew this tremendous opportunity.
Oh, yeah, they disown us.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But don't worry, Drew, we're throwing our lives away for you. So all 30 of us are going to come sleep in your mom's apartment.
So this poor old Abbott's got to be like, oh, Jesus, fuck. I can't let these like 30 other good people's lives be torn asunder for this kid. Exactly. All right, yeah, all can come back in.
Everybody wins.
So they decide, like, he's like, all right, I'm really serious about this now. We get into like some serious training. And then for no reason other than this is the protagonist of a film, The abbot is like, hey, man, you have this all-important task. You have to take this scroll up to the world's most powerful monk, and you have to hand-deliver it to him. And when you do that, you get to ask him any question you want. Cut to 3 minutes into this journey, this fucking moron drops it in a river.
Yeah, but he saves like a farmer's life, so it's like he's learning the path.
Right, right.
But I don't understand why he wouldn't chase it down in the river. I mean, we see it in the river. The current's not that strong. He could have caught.
He could have just run right down that hill. That was killing me. I was like, get your lazy American ass down that hill and get
that
scroll.
It's just like, oh, the paper's wet. It's ruined.
Well, the best part is he's like, ah, whatever. And he goes up. He does complete the journey, goes to the monk, and he's like, look, I'm so sorry. I failed. I tried to save this guy's life. You're right. No, there's no excuse. And he tries to walk away, and the monk is like, oh, you've succeeded. It was all a trick because the scroll was meaningless and saving life. He's like, oh, awesome. He's like, ask your question. And he asks him, like, what's the meaning of life? And I forget what the answer is.
I can tell you.
Oh, please.
It's something like, what is reality? What is a dream? To have a dead cat.
And he's like, oh, I don't even know why I'm asking this fucking isolated. The second any time this kid, this monk, this Buddhist monk, yep, still is a fucking leaf on a pond, runs into any adversity, he's like, oh, well, you fucking idiot. You don't even know the answer anyway. You probably don't even speak English, you asshole.
Meanwhile, he's yelling at the most powerful monk in the world, who is dressed like a cast member from El Topo. Yeah. This guy is in this ridiculous purple balloon garb. I have no idea what this outfit is.
You're right. It's like it could go El Topo. He might expose himself at any moment. Or he might cast a spell or something and turn him into a frog. He's kind of wizardly.
I would like him to go all Gordon Liu and Kill Bill Volume 2 and rip this kid's eye right out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now we're talking. Yeah.
But that didn't happen.
But I just love how it's like, you know, you had one question to ask this fella, and you asked him some douchebag, run-of-the-mill, there's no actual answer to it question.
Exactly.
You stupid, walking, cliched American dumbass.
This is the wisest man you'll ever meet in your life, and you're treating him like a Snapple bottle or something.
Or even ask him a meaningful thing. Like, look, I got a lot of beef with this, like, 6'2", be ponytailed rich kid in America that pantsed me. How do I beat him? You know what I mean?
Will I ever beat Trevor Gott at all?
Sure. How do I prevent someone from pantsing me? What is the proper stance?
You must wear a belt.
And suspenders.
Here I am trying to pants me, Mr. Data.
Also,
got you.
Maybe not give a fuck and maybe not enter these frivolous fighting matches for your own empty pride.
Well, because that's... It's the biggest question of it all, right? Mm-hmm. Where is this all leading?
Right.
What are you doing this for?
Well, this is when it gets really weird because he comes back down the hill and like everyone's like, they slow clap because he's the best monk of them all because he's white. And they're like, and he's like, you know what? Congratulations, you are now a Shaolin monk. Because you have already expressed that you don't want to stay here as a monk,
right,
you can just go. Like, you could just go.
Yeah, we have one final graduation ceremony that really seals the deal, but you can just get the hell out of here.
But it's amazing. Like, so are you allowed to audit classes with these guys? Like, what
that's
are we talking about?
He's that annoying 70-year-old person who had a 60% discount on the class admission.
I'm here till I die. But that's the senior auditor. But that's what's bullshit about this, because no way, right?
No, like, you can't just go in there and you have to make that commitment. That's the only reason they're spending their time and resources.
Right.
But like, they're totally cool with like, okay, you could train fighting with us and then you're done. Go back to America. Like, you don't have like a residency or something assigned to some temple to like pay out your dues a little bit.
And also, like, the whole point is not about the fighting for them. It's all about everything else. So, like, why would you put the fighting in the wrong hands? Because this guy's just going to go to the local Blockbuster and start kicking people. You know what I mean? Like, nobody needs that. So tonight, 11, 12 people kicked at Blockbuster.
Local white monk appears to be perpetrator.
War with China imminent now that the white monk has returned.
Bar, it came back to bite me in the ass. Deregulated those dojos.
Now this guy's, he's just going overseas. He's getting all this radical training, Bar. And then he's coming back on our soil. And we're just reaping what he sows.
Our Blockbusters aren't safe, Bar.
Can't even go in to rent Fletch Lives, Bar.
Blockbusters are the building blocks of society.
I was going to go in there to rent the edited Bad Lieutenant, Bar, the one that I love.
Don't have to watch Harvey Keitel's Ding-a-ling singing along in that movie, Bar. Blockbuster edited out all the parts I don't want to watch.
No, thank you. Not going to do it. Not going to watch that Ding-a-ling. Not after the piano.
Fell for it once, Bar. Not going to fall for that Ding-a-ling again. I read the Family Values reviews, Bar. They tell me when there's a ding-a-ling alert.
Hey, ding-a-ling alert, motherfucker! Ding-a-ling alert all over your wife!
I get to finish the year out.
You didn't want to see Harvey's ding-a-ling, but you're seeing mine. I'm moving in, motherfucker!
That's American politics for you.
In a nutshell.
So the final...
Listen, a game show host might be our president, okay?
That's true.
So the last challenge he does, he's like, no, I want to do it anyway just because. And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. Whatever. You know what? Whatever the fuck, whatever.
Also,
thousands of years of tradition. You know what? Burn those scrolls, why don't you?
Also, I'm going first. Yes. This fucking pig. If anything, it's like, we're going to let everyone else go, and then if you still want to, if there's enough time left in the ceremony, you can go through.
And so he goes through this thing. It's like the pit of the whatever, and it's basically him fighting wooden robots
for an hour.
It takes forever with these wooden robots. Yeah,
the Shaolins have developed wooden robots.
This is a deleted scene from Thor.
And you'd think that's like some of them are like, you're obviously moving on like a track. Like, yeah, it's just coming at you.
Right.
But then their arms and legs move. And then eventually, one of the robots is like, I'll grab him from the back. You two other robots punch him in the stomach. These wooden robots have got him in a little headlock.
Dude, they definitely have a mind of their own. There's a mind of their own going. It's a hive collective mind. Now,
they mafia beat this kid for like an hour.
Yeah.
Remember that one wooden robot that's just Robert De Niro kicking that guy?
Yes.
It's true.
Go get your fucking shine box.
Wooden robot.
But it's like, okay, now, are these robots, are they like... Are there like robot?
Are they sentient beings? Possibly.
No. Yes, definitely. But are there like robot innards, like mechanical innards, or is this a magic spell robot?
I think there's some mysticism.
Initially, to your point, Eric, it does seem like it's all ropes, right? Yeah. But yeah, I think at some point, yes, yeah, somewhere it crosses over, dude. It does cross over to a weird degree.
Yeah, there's
they're
like,
either enchanted or bejeweled with actual like gears.
Is this just Fat Ghost Stream on the holodeck?
Now is my time to shine. I operate the obstacle course, Fat Ghost.
Maybe that's what it is. It's like it's the ghosts of fallen failed monks that are now inhabiting the bodies of the wooden dummies.
Yeah, like Patrick Swayze in Ghost.
Exactly like
or
Patrick
Vincent Schiavelli in Ghost.
Exactly like Vincent Schiavelli in Ghost.
I mean, he beats the like. They do. He does. They do have him in a headlock and are beating the crap out of him. But somehow,
so
like,
awesome.
He finds the inner white guy strength to beat them all, and he escapes.
Dude, and what they do? This is some bullshit. I'm trying to be a filmmaker.
Yeah, I hated that.
Hear from Mr. Lowe, but at the he just seemingly just runs out at one point, like out of the exit of this temple thing or whatever. And they all start cheering him, and you're like, well, that's terrible. I didn't see anything, and then like. This kid artfully looks back, and the camera gets him in just the right light. And then we just flash back to 3 minutes beforehand, and he's fighting these robots again.
bad move movie. I'm not impressed by that.
I will say one thing. This guy can't act as well as Ralph Macchio. However,
yeah,
much better martial artist, in much better shape. Like he's doing most of the work. Like 60% of the time, it's actually him. And then like the real hard stuff they bring in.
Right, yeah, they couldn't afford someone else to do it, right?
Well, what's interesting, though, is there's definitely some scenes, at least early on in the movie, where they're definitely going at like half speed. And I don't know if they're using like rehearsal takes or what, but
yeah,
a lot of this movie, I was like, why did they hire this guy? He can't act and he can't do these fight moves fast enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And then by the end of the movie, he's doing it. And I don't think it's a thing where it's like he learned to be a better fighter. That didn't happen. He just learned to just be 3 degrees less piggish, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So he wins, and he gets all of the prizes, and they're like, oh, we just wasted 6 months of our time and all of the rice that we had and the stuff and blah, blah, blah. By the way, goodbye. And they're like, oh, you know, we are going to this expo. The Shaolin monks are going to some karate expo in Shanghai.
Yeah. Oh, it's some sort of martial arts expo. Man, expo.
I don't know. I don't know. They're flaunting it? I don't know. Anyway. Oh,
we'd like you and
Gao is selected
to fight.
To fight, yes.
And then we're like, you can come and be like my buddy there if you
carry
want.
Carry Gao's suitcase, you piece of shit.
And it's like, okay, cool. And wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you fucking know it? Trevor Goddard all is there. It's like, oh, man, it's like the worst high school reunion ever.
Before we get to the expo itself, when they're traveling, this is what strikes me as very weird.
This
happens several times in the movie. They're traveling by train.
Yeah, this is bullshit.
They're traveling by train, and like everyone's dressed as a monk.
Yep.
And he's just like wearing his Giants fucking jersey or whatever the fuck.
He's wearing his Jeff Hostetler jersey.
But it's like, what the fuck are you doing, asshole? You're going with monks. You're representing the temple. Why are you wearing your Giants fucking t-shirt?
Well, they give him this bizarre position, right? Like, he's not a monk, and he's not a monk.
Right.
He's somewhere in the middle.
He's like Screech and Saved by the Bell, the new class. Like, you're still there, but what you have is not a job.
And then it's great, too, because the abbot's just like, no, you sit up front. Oh, but I want to sit with you guys. The seats are not all together, so...
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to sit next to a guy in a Mets hat spitting on the floor right now.
No, they do it because, dude, they are setting him up with the lady fair.
Oh, you're right.
Because then that celibate monks are like, oh, young love conquers all.
Listen, you know what? Get it wet on this train, because when we get to this fucking expo, you put it back in your pants, goddammit. You're a monk. Act like it.
I guess. Wait, what?
And then he sees
confusing, isn't it? That's life in the Nexus for you. Goodbye.
Wait for me, Van Gogh.
So he's like, why don't you go up front? And he sees his lady friend, and they start making out. And I'm like,
they get to second base.
Listen, there's only so much room in a train car bathroom, okay? Yeah.
Wait, he's not home running it?
No, not in a train car bathroom.
But he's got his Mets hat on. He's ready to round those bases.
He beat all those wooden robots? I mean, come on.
Nah, he and Gao were laughing at a nudie mag before they left for the train station. So he took care of it.
But so they get to the expo. It's the last scene in the movie. Wouldn't you know Trevor Goddard all shows up?
Wouldn't you know it? I'm looking at the clock like 20 minutes.
And I'm like, oh, wait, who's this guy? Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, the villain of the movie. And then you realize this film has spent like an hour and a half without an antagonist anywhere.
The antagonist was Drew himself.
It really was.
Yeah, you know, this movie's like a mirror. It really makes you give a good look at yourself when you realize you got duped by American Shaolin, colon, King of the Kickboxers, too.
So him and Gao fight. Oh, you know, he sees Drew Carson, and he's like, oh, hey, it's the kid I pantsed. Nice haircut, you fucking monk.
Which, by the way, it's been so much time later. He's got a shaved head. How are you?
You're Trevor Goddard. You're high on all sorts of cocaine in the first place, dude.
You've pantsed at least 7 people since then. You know what I mean? Like, that's been your move.
You've been pantsing across the USA, which, by the way, would be a great arcade game, sort of like what, cruising USA?
Oh, yeah.
But you're, like, driving around and then getting out of the car and, like, pantsing people and then driving to the next place and pantsing someone.
It would have to be people, like, using public telephones. Like, that, because that's the move.
That is the move.
He walks into this arena and he's got, like, babes on each arm, you know, and they're walking and he's like, wait, ladies. I think I smell someone I pantsed in here before. And he spots this dude in this huge crowd. And he's like, oh, hey, Drew Carson. Remember those tidy whities pretty mightily?
And then there's like some other guy at the other end like, oh, my God, he didn't see me. Thank God.
Oh, man.
I don't want to get pantsed again.
But in therapy for years after Trevor got it all publicly humiliated me.
The ref is like, oh, that's that guy that pantsed me.
Oh, man, I better be on my toes looking out for pantsing as the referee. I remember the famous Drew Carson pantsing at the All Valley.
So he like shoves him or whatever, and Drew's like, I'm a monk now, man. You know, I don't even think about that pantsing, although that's the whole reason for my being at this point.
I literally became a monk due to pantsing.
Like, he should thank him for changing his life for
the
better.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't do that, though, which leads me to believe that this kid's still just a piggish American.
He is still a piggish American. So Gao gets beaten by Trevor.
Oh, big time. Mercilessly. Big, bad beating.
And again, this is an expo. Like,
remember, everybody, it's an expo.
And it's a, you know what I mean? Like,
did everyone fill out the newsletter mailing list?
We want to be able to remind you about the date for next year's expo.
No. Stop the fight. We really have to mention the sign-in sheet, guys. There have been a couple of people who think they don't have to sign in. I'm not going to name names, but one of them, title of an abbot.
And if you
thought it was too important to sign in.
And if you guys enjoy Trevor's fight, you can see Got It All Droppin' Trow, his speech and workshop on how to pants your opponent. That's tomorrow, 2 to 4 in the pavilion there.
Wow, let me tell you, a 2-hour pantsing workshop.
Well, you got to get everyone. You got to break people into teams, right?
It gets intensive. I'll tell you what, this expo's got it all. Okay, you ever want to pants someone wearing long johns? A little extra effort. You don't expect it sometimes, but I'm telling you, you go to some of these martial art tournaments in Canada, you're going to find some long johns.
That's true. They prep you for all sorts of scenarios.
Oh, yeah. How to disarm a cummerbund. if you're at a high society party, you want to pants somebody, they have a cummerbund.
Or you
also,
know,
Battle of the Bulge, when the guy has a dick so big that it actually embarrasses you when you pants him. What do you do then?
Oh, then you're just, I don't think there's any coming back from that. Or, you know, you
take
find
the workshop,
yourself.
Find out.
You find yourself in the middle of a Starfleet mission. You want to pants your captain and his unitard. What are you going to do? Got It All's going to tell you how to rip that zipper in one swift motion.
You got to rip the zip. It's simple. Remember it. Rip the zip.
And that's a good thing. It's not just all talking. There's a lot of activities. You're breaking into pairs. He's going to examine technique. It's a big, intensive course.
Somehow it's all sponsored by MeUndies.com, which I don't understand how that's working.
So... he beats the shit out of Gao, and again, like, there's no ref in the ring. There's no point system. It's apparently a street fight in the middle.
This is like the fucking ECW. I mean, what is going on here?
He's got his leg on Gao's throat, about to break his neck, and he's like, I want him. I want Drew Carson. I'm going to pants that motherfucker in front of everybody. You're all going to see his willy.
And then the abbot's like reluctantly like, all right. Like, sometimes someone needs to be taught a lesson.
Oh, yeah. It's abbot code for go beat the shit out of that ponytail prick.
Try and get a Buddhist to say, sometimes people need to be taught a lesson.
Oh, no. Here comes Taz running down the ramp with some barbed wire or some shit.
ECW.
Oh, that other guy whose name I don't remember is doing that spider move or something.
Rob Van Dam?
I don't know.
Sure.
Listen, my wrestling knowledge is lacking enough. Get me talking about ECW. I can tell you about barbed wire, thumbtacks, and Taz. And how when they used to air ECW rerun things on like local upstate cable or whatever... 10 times out of 10, these late-night Saturday broadcasts, the commercial break was always porno chat lines. They knew who was watching ECW wrestling reruns.
You know what my wrestling knowledge is? Vaudeville. I know. I remember when Boxcar Joe went up against Hobo Bill.
Wow, you're a real, an old-timer, a real true believer.
Yeah, you know, I that's when it was pure, frankly.
So they fight.
They fight. I think the first time maybe Drew beats him a little bit. He's a little better than he thought he was.
Yeah.
And then at this point, he beats him he beats him to the ground and he picks him up, right? He offers his hand in friendship because he has grown a little bit.
Right.
This is when look. I know you're a monk. I know you spent so much time learning about inner peace and all that stuff.
Yes.
The one thing you got to know about this opponent when you enter the ring is at some point he's going to try and pants you. That is his thing.
He tells Gao before Gao starts his match. He's like, by the way, this dude's totally going to try to cheat and pull your pants down. Keep your eyes wide open for a pantsing.
So he beats him and he offers his hand in friendship and wouldn't you know he pantses him. But he gets a half one on him.
It's a half pantsing, and this is where at this martial arts expo, someone has to come out and be like, what are you doing? This is a martial arts expo, and arrest this guy.
Yeah.
Or at least kick him out. But they just let this continue.
Cancel his lecture tomorrow or something.
Oh yeah, that workshop's canceled. 2 to 4, more like never to never. All the crowd is totally into it, and all of a sudden it's like you are watching professional wrestling because they're like, boo, a pantsing, and it's like, no, boo, he's taking a dump on your culture. The ponytail's bad enough.
Yeah, that's what everybody wants to watch in Shanghai is two white guys fight each other while pantsing. at the Shanghai Martial Arts Expo.
That might actually go over well. You never know. But so Drew beats the shit out of this guy.
He beats the shit out of him a second time, and our ridiculous freeze frame ending is he pulls him up and he's trying to pull God at All's arm up as we're both winners.
Right.
And it's freeze frame, that's it.
No, you're missing the last line of the film, which is the most insane ending to this movie, is the abbot stands up.
Yes.
After, this guy, weasels his way out of a pantsing and then, raises his guy.
Like
up.
We've all done,
The abbot
the
stands up and is like, we're all going to get laid.
He points at this white guy that has fleeced him at a karate lesson, essentially. He quanned him at a karate lesson.
Oh, you got quanned.
he points at this kid that isn't even going to be at the temple full time, and he goes, the future of Shaolin.
Oh, yeah, take that, Chinese culture.
And then he puts on sunglasses.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it.
Everyone's being handed tropical drinks.
So let's dance.
No, it's not any way you want it. It's fucking summertime blues again.
Of course.
Oh man, there ain't no cure for the summertime blues. That is one of the worst fucking songs ever written.
Yep.
And you're hearing it. They get their money's worth.
And you know what? Slip it by me once, I might not take offense, but but you fool me twice, fool me thrice.
Fool me seven times.
Good God.
I'd rather get pants than listen to Summertime Blues again.
I would rather be... listen, if someone publicly pantsed me with the promise that my ears would never have to hear Summertime Blues ever again in any form, pull away, get tugging. I'll wear breakaway Adidas pants to make it easy for you.
Yep. Andrew Jupin stars in Get Tugging.
At our next live appearance, you'll have a chance to pants.
We'll have a pantsing booth instead of an autograph booth.
Yeah. Is anybody recommending this movie? Because that's the end
Big
of it.
Big time, enthusiastically. You know it.
So,
yeah.
15 times you think you've seen this movie?
Probably. But as a kid, in the 10 club.
But that's pretty serious.
It's pretty serious.
For a movie like this, it's as serious as this a four-alarm heart attack.
This is also kind of like a half watch. Let's thumb through the Nintendo Power while we're doing this.
Oh, bravo.
Maybe breaking out some Milano cookies. Here's my question. I think it's a soft recommend for me. It's an hour and 45 minutes, which is insane.
That's unforgivable.
But it's kind of fun in a one-and-done scenario. It would be a fun party movie, I think. Eric, are you quoting this movie in daily life? Are you ever reminded of this movie and you're like, oh, that reminds you of American... I'm not even being a dick.
Well,
I'm just curious.
My brother can quote it a little bit.
Okay.
He's more of the American
Shaolin
fanatic.
What would be the circumstance, though?
Did you see it like a commercial for Lost and you were like, oh shit, it's Guan?
No, actually, I had no idea that that was this guy till just recently. And that's because okay. I haven't seen this movie in so long.
Sure, sure. All right.
But no real quote. It's not as quotable as you'd think it would be.
Fair enough.
But yeah,
I can tell you this. In no uncertain terms am I recommending this movie. No way. But I remember when you suggested it, you were like, how about this movie, American Shaolin? And I had seen, because I am a huge Lost fan, they had something that was like Lost actors, like first appearances in whatever. And this was like the first or one of the first things he's done. And I had seen this goddamn Ain't No Cure for the Shaolin Temple Blues horse shit musical number before. And you were like, how about American Shaolin? And my first thought was, is that the movie with Shaolin Temple Blues? And I asked you, and you said yes. And I said, fuck me, and agreed to do it. I think this movie is trash. There are way better white guy karate movies out
there.
And I found
this. Again, guys, we've been saying karate a lot. This is probably kung fu.
It's not karate.
It's the same. Well,
it's not karate.
Who knows? I don't know. I'm not a master.
Someone is definitely going to tell us that it's not karate, which is fine. We know it's not karate, but this is, in the We Hate Movies sphere, a white guy karate movie, which means mustachioed greaseballs doing martial arts.
Yes, in any shape or form. And feel free to tell us how wrong I got any and all temple specifics, which I'm sure that I did.
Yeah, I'm sure this was all riddled with errors. But one thing we know for sure that's not an error.
Yeah.
Is that Fat Ghost is out there.
That's American Shaolin: King of the Kickboxers 2, directed by Lucas Lowe. If you want to get a hold of us, check out the website, whmpodcast.com, or find us over at sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at WHMPodcast. Right into the mailbag, wehallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. Do not forget, the window is still open, gang. Till the stroke of midnight on February 8th, 718-925-3893 is the WHM hotline to write in and request a movie for Listener Request Month.
Also, please write in an email for the Animation Damnation Request Month title. WeAllHateMovies@gmail.com, your name, the title, and where to get that cartoon.
Now, next week on the program, what do we got coming up?
It's Daredevil Gang from 2003 with Ben Affleck. That's how my mother says his name for no reason.
Ben Affleck?
Yeah, she's like, oh, that Ben Affleck.
Like it's one word? It sounds like some sort of boner medication. Ask your doctor if your heart is right for Ben Affleck.
You know what? It's not.
That's what Jennifer Garner found out.
Oh, yeah.
So she's also in this movie.
So this that movie. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the famed Daredevil.
Right. The Netflix show is a lot better.
Oh, yeah. Leaps and bounds.
We'll get into it.
We will get into it next week when we're talking about Daredevil on We Hate Movies. Until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Stephen Shaolin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.